Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Podcast der Comic Invasion Berlin. Ich bin Carlos und in dieser Folge sprechen Lara und ich mit der finnischen Comic-Künstlerin Hanna Räsänen, die seit einigen Jahren in Berlin lebt und jetzt auch im Team der Comic Invasion dabei ist. Und das Hauptfestival steht vor der Tür. Am übernächsten Wochenende ist es soweit. Am 11. und 12. Mai öffnen sich die Pforten für das Festival beim Museum für Kommunikation Berlin. Ja, und wir hoffen natürlich, dass ihr alle vorbeikommt und alles mitbringt, was Comics lesen kann. Denn das Festival ist offen für alle und nach wie vor kostenlos. In der nächsten Sendung erfahrt ihr dann auch nochmal ganz genau, was da alles stattfinden wird. Da bekommt ihr dann einen Audioguide, der euch durch das ganze Festival führt, an allen Ausstellern vorbei und in alle Veranstaltungsräume. Aber jetzt sei auch schon mal ein weiterer Programmpunkt verraten. Am Sonntag signiert nämlich die gute Sarah Burini am Stand der Comic Solidarity. Das komplette Programm findet ihr dann auch bald auf unserer Website comicinvasionberlin.de. Und jetzt findet ihr da auch schon eine Seite mit den ganzen Ausstellern und Ausstellerinnen, die ihr dort an den Tischen treffen könnt. Und weiterhin der Hinweis, wenn ihr ein bisschen mithelfen wollt auf der Comic Invasion am Festivalwochenende am 11. und 12. Mai, dann meldet euch doch bei uns, geht auf unsere Website, da findet ihr ein Formular, ein Helper-Formular, da könnt ihr euch eintragen und dann meldet sich Claire bei euch. Es reicht, wenn ihr einfach nur ein Stündchen oder zweimal irgendwas mithelfen wollt. Ihr müsst euch dann nicht gleich einen ganzen Tag einspannen. Und zum Dank bekommt ihr Comic Invasion Merch und Food- und Getränkegutscheine. Und jetzt zum Gespräch mit Hanna Räsänen, die wir in ihrem Atelier im alten Finanzamt in Neukölln besucht haben.
Hi, Hanna.
Hello, hello.
You're from Finland. I don't know very much about Finland. How is it?
How is Finland?
How is it?
I think that's a very appropriate question.
Well, I say in general, I guess there's not many people and a lot of land, nature. There's also kind of lively comic scene.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunate political movements towards the right in the last years. But I mean, at least the comic scene seems to be fighting against like rise of the right wing, which I've been very happy to see.
So the comic scene, or in general, the indie comic scene in Finland is rather political, and would you say that?
Yeah, I would say that they're quite political, or yeah, they us.
Is that how you got like into comics, via the political side of it, or how did you come to create comics yourself?
Yeah, I was a teenage activist before I became a late teenage comic artist. Or early adult, I guess. So yeah, it's true. Like the first comic I did was was 10 years ago, approximately 10 years ago. And yeah, I think it was 2008, and it was about nuclear power plant in Loviisa. Yeah, so in a way, so I guess politics and comics are very connected for me.
Okay. Is it a medium? Is it very mainstream, or in Germany it's very small and it's not very well funded and stuff? Is it better in Finland?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of people doing comics. There was also a platform that was especially publishing comic blogs, like sarjakuvablogit.fi, I think. But so like a specific one that I think defined quite a lot of movement. Comics have been declared a form of art since like a few years. There is also association that's basically like, you know, forwarding this goal. There is some funding, and there is also a feminist comic group that is super active.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I would say like that comparing to how many people are living in Finland, it's quite lively.
And is it mostly local artists or the whole world, like superhero stuff from US or European comics, or is it rather focused on Finnish comics?
I mean, middle, I guess. There's a lot of Finnish, like I don't know, local comics would say. There is also, of course, like the superhero or like the more like bigger publishers or so.
Translated?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that I've lived here kind of a long time. And also, it's like what I've been interested in myself, that for sure I read them like bigger publishers as a kid, but I've been very focused on local independent comics wherever I am for the last, I don't know, like 15 years. So it's hard, like, I don't know if I can actually talk for everyone in Finland or the whole scene. But they are like the Helsinki Comics Festival is divided into like basically like the bigger publishers, and then there's the independent pub, like basically it's a scene festival. It's not the only comic festival in Finland, it's just like maybe the biggest one. There's also one in Tampere, there's one in Porvo, and I'm forgetting a few ones. Oulu, at least there's one. And there's a comic school, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but you moved away from Finland. Why?
Yeah. that's always a tough question. Like, I think, moving to Berlin, I would say it had a lot to do with the queer scene here. And I mean, there's a lot of things happening also in Finland, but of course, I don't know, I guess it was at the time more inspiring for me or something. But yeah, I mean.
What's your art background?
Yeah, well, okay, when I've been 16, I was in an art-oriented high school, after which I did not study arts, and I just started doing, like, basically I dropped all arts until I picked up comics. Yeah, and this comics was in the beginning something I wanted to do just for myself, and eventually moving to Berlin, like I also, like in the middle, I did a degree in cultural management or event management. And like to cut the long story short, at some point comics, like that used to be my like hobby or like the thing that I do for myself, became work, and event management became hobby. So I don't know, like failed event manager, like I like to say.
Okay. And what was your interest? I mean, was it very focused on the political stuff, or did you have had interest in techniques or something?
I mean, mostly I was interested in delivering the message, so to say. But of course, then at some point I started to get more into like the specifics of storytelling techniques, or, you know, how to do it. Different kind of inks. In the beginning, I did everything by hand, including coloring, and then at some point moved on to using like ink and brush, including lettering, which makes a really hard, like makes some of my older comics like a bit hard to read, but very beautiful to look at, if I say so. And yeah, and then at some point moved on to markers, and now I've been just on markers and digital coloring since many years. I think like, at least 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And you published, or you did a comic, a hypothetical love triangle, and you've got a publisher for it. How did that happen?
Yeah, so Editionas and Blush, their political publisher, who, by the way, have a crowdfunding going on at the moment, which you should totally check out at Startnext. So yeah, so basically, yeah, like they published my comic, A Hypothetical Love Triangle, available everywhere. Please buy it from me at Comic Invasion. in 2016. And basically I wrote to them and asked if they're interested. But I also knew that they are publishing political art, political writers and artists, and wanted to check up if they would be interested. They started at the time a queer feminist comic publishing, Raihe.
What was it about?
It's a collection of my, like, it's a, like a retrospect comic from retrospect of comics from me from 2010 to 2015 or 2016. 2015 since we were 16. And yeah, it's just like basically like short stories and cartoons and so on. And it was published in color, which was, of course, cool. Yeah.
What are your influences or what did you read? What interests you in comics?
Well, few names to drop. I love the Bone series from Jeff Smith. Mm-hmm. I think the Bone comics are something I keep coming back for, like for storytelling wise and also mm-hmm. visual, mm-hmm. you know, like in a way to like what I read as for inspiration and as when I want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. also Sophie Campbell, mm-hmm. who did Wet Moon series, mm-hmm. super recommend, beautiful. No? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they maybe like the two to like to say. I mean, okay, Julie Doucet is mm-hmm. of course like mm-hmm. as for the, like, I don't know, like the anarchistic lines or how I would say it, like how the line work yeah. is still like alive, yeah. something.
Yeah. How would you describe your style?
Well, for the lines, I've somehow always want to keep them living. Like, I think the line work is something like I hope, I have to think about this a bit and look at my own stuff here on the walls. Like, it should not be too tidy. I think that's something what I'm aiming for. Also, I've been getting more experimental in the last years, mm-hmm. which somehow, of course, affects the storytelling. At the same time, colors is something that's kind of my big focus in a way. Like, okay, I'm coloring digitally, but then it's a big part of the atmosphere for me. Yeah. And yeah, like dreamy. I think dreamy landscapes is a word that I like to use.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay, this is of course then like usually my characters are queer somehow. Like I've done a lot of character-based comics. And like with the queerness is something how you're portraying queerness often in media feels that there's just like specific stories to be told mm-hmm. and specific ways how these stories are being told, like the coming of age, the horrible death, mm-hmm. like all this stuff, like, you know.
A lot of cliches.
And then for me, it's that, okay, my characters are queer, but it's just like one part of them. They're here to tell bigger stories or like stories outside of their identity, however the identity may be present. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, yeah, it still can affect a lot in your life, and yeah, especially after the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's something I also have been thinking a lot lately about, like how we portray queerness, queer characters in stories, because it has been quite like stereotypical. There are like a few items that or boxes you can check, but what about the queer people who are not fitting in those characteristics? Like, you can be queer and not like rainbows, mm-hmm. but try to find a queer story without rainbow color. It's very different, very difficult to find. So that's also something that I've been thinking about. How do you approach that? Like, how do you paint a queer person without using those boxes?
Well, should I give all my tricks away? Well, I mean, yeah, like, I think a lot comes from the interaction of the characters mm-hmm. within each other if you're doing a graphic novel, and in more cartoons, it's like maybe like sometimes I use some symbolics, sometimes also how their body language is or something, like how, I don't know, which is maybe hard to explain, but something like kind of going a little bit out of, like, if you're reading the guides of how what kind of body language does what, and then you go deviate a little bit from it in like, you know.
Yeah.
Which was super abstract to explain what I do, but you know, like anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or it can be also like how they're behaving in some situations or something, or yeah. like, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, to be honest, I do use quite a lot of like pink color at some point. Though between, I had a bunch of years that you didn't use pink at all for just for being different. And this, looking at this, there's a unicorn on my desk. So I'm kind of like, well, you know, like, how do I do it? Yeah, do I? Yeah, I've done a lot of workshops on the question of norms as well. So that's something. First, I did workshops on queer norms. So exactly this question of like, what are the norms well within the queer community? Now I'm doing comic workshops on a question of body and beauty norms in a, like a broader societal sense. The next time, this Sunday in Nuremberg. That's always interesting to see what the like different groups are talking about, like what the discussion is about, and what kind of comics comes from
that.
Yeah.
And what are you working on right now? Do you have a comic planned or in the works?
Well, okay. So my first upcoming graphic novel, Weltuntergang, a post-apocalyptic queer adventure, which is a bit of a tongue twister, I guess. I did the first part last year, or like I published it last year, and now I'm slowly coming to work on the second part, which hopefully would also come out eventually. So Weltuntergang means basically the end of the world in German, and this is what it's about. I think the name tells enough of it.
Apocalypse seems to be a topic that you're very interested in. Why is that?
I mean, we're living in the end of the times, right? Like, I mean, we're clearly living in the not steampunk world, but the other.
Cyberpunk,
exactly. So we're living in the cyberpunk world. I mean, like video phone is completely normal. You know, like still no flying cars, but that's not far.
I think that's very, very good that we don't have flying cars.
Just around this the corner, though.
Yeah. This is very true. I mean, like everything is like, you know, like we're already here. So I don't know. I'm just trying to beat it with the comic until it happens, which, like, you know, maybe I should start working a bit faster. But, you know, like, those pages don't draw themselves. It's surprisingly a lot of time that you need for doing it. Like, we're talking in years and not in months now, people. Anyway, at least if you work alone.
But talking about working alone, could you ever have you ever collaborated with someone? Like, could you imagine that, like, you would just write a comic and someone else would draw it, or give the colorings to someone else? Could you do that?
I mean, I tried with one person. We tried to write semi together, but the person would have written a comic, and then I would have done basically the rest. And what happened was that I got so attached to the characters, and when they were behaving in a way that I didn't think that they would have, like, they should have behaved, I'm like, that's like, she would have never done that. I don't know. Then it somehow, like, didn't work out in a way. But, like, I don't know if I would personally be able, like, be also happy to, for example, color for someone else. Or, you know, like, I could imagine that if it's completely, like, we're not writing together, someone else writes, like, maybe it would be possible, but, like, I haven't tried after that. And then we were kind of co-writing. Anyway. Yeah.
What part of comic making is the most fun for you?
Well, if not the inking, and ink is, like, a strange lover. I don't know, or like maybe strange friend is better to say, but ink can also like bite you back. I don't know. But anyway, like, so inking's of course fun, and of course the community, like the comics community, Berlin, beautiful, great. Like, thanks for all the work, festival.
How do you see the Berlin comic scene? Maybe you have more comparison with other local comic scenes.
How is it the Berlin comic scene?
Is it different? Is it very typical Berlin in your view? Or how do you see it?
Well, I mean, I guess I haven't been in so many comic scenes, and it's a good question if you ever are in a scene, or if you ever understand that you are I mean, I think I'm like thinking that at least in the last years, there's been quite a lot of movements here. There's been a lot of things that I feel have been accomplished largely, I feel like, because of Comic what Comic Invasion has been doing. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's also the like, I've never been in a big German Comic Con, for example. I only go to the smaller festivals. Mm-hmm. So I'm also only getting like a fraction. But I mean, interesting is that Berlin scene is very focused in Berlin. Mm-hmm. That this I haven't seen so much like in my other communities. So to say that, for example, there would be that Helsinki Festival would do a contest that it's only about Helsinki comics, which might have happened, but like it's existed for kind of a long time, like a few decades. But you know, like, but it's not something that I know that would be repeating. But of course, Berlin is also quite specific place in a way.
Mm-hmm. Is there something missing here in Berlin in terms of comics or comics creating that you would like to have?
Pause it to think. What's missing?
Or is it already perfect?
World is never ready. And more of everything, I guess. You know, like more, of course, it's great that there's this like the funding now from Senat. But this, of course, would be great when it's like we see it continue and extended and so on. Maybe like there's really good comic book shops, but somehow I'm having fantasies of like a feminist comic book shop that maybe is a cafe also, and like possibly there's cats. I don't know, you know, like
cats. Sounds like you should open it.
Yeah, everyone's got to have a dream, right? Oh yeah, there's also concerts, and okay, we got it, right? Like, okay, anyone, if you know a space like this, let me know. Yeah. I'm also thinking that like what could be a super interesting project is a comic camp, a comic drawing camp for like youth, so to say, like. Mm-hmm. But this is maybe something to think about in the future.
Mm-hmm. You worked as a editor for comic anthologies. What kind of anthologies? Wanna say something about that?
Yeah, so I did two books before. The first one was like Sikala comics about factory farming. This was like, in 2010, I think, and this was for the Finnish animal rights group, who had just published pictures from the factory farms that showed an unfortunately really horrible situation that has not gotten much better now, but. Regardless, there's been a lot of discussion around it, so hopefully there's some things happening. Second one is On the Way to Peace, which is like anti-militaristic comics that was, the name I think explains itself quite well. And then is a third project that we're actually a lot of... me and Ife have been co-editing 10 pages for a upcoming anthology that's basically still a question of when and how it will come out. But this is an American collaboration project. What was the name? Divide and Conquer, right? Anyway, so looking forward to seeing that. Besides that, if you have an anthology idea, hit me up. I'm always interested to collaborate.
Okay, cool. Where can people find your stuff?
Online and at the comic festival.
Of course, but that's the moment where you can drop your web address.
Okay, great. So this is super long, so please take your markers, write it down. So the address is cargocollective.com/HennaRasanen. You can also find me from Instagram. That's probably easier. So henna.rasanen. There's going to be a comic exhibition here at Altes Finanzamt, Schönstedstrasse 7 in Rathaus Neukölln. We're doing an exhibition together with my colleague Rory Midhani, who is also a really, really great comic artist, queer comic artist. And there's also going to be other people participating, but this is in the first, the second weekend of July. Mm-hmm. Second weekend of July. So we have at least the exhibition during that time, probably some other maybe workshops, maybe some other program, maybe readings, not sure. Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. And so there, that's where you all should totally come. Mm-hmm. Also, on 8th of May, I'm doing a reading from my book, A Hypothetical Love Triangle, cool. at Zine Klatsch. That's like in the Archiv der Jugendkulturen. And also this is in Meringdam. So that's also everyone's welcome to join.
All right. Thank you, Hannah.
Great. Thanks a lot also.
Das war's für diese Woche und übernächstes Wochenende ist es soweit. Am 11. und 12. Mai startet die Comic Invasion im Museum für Kommunikation Berlin von 11 bis 19 Uhr an beiden Tagen. Und nächste Woche gibt's hier in diesem Podcast noch die letzte Folge vor dem Festival und das wird unser großer Audioguide. Da laufen wir virtuell an allen Ausstellerinnen vorbei und in alle Veranstaltungsräume und da erzählen wir euch ganz genau, was euch alles auf der Comic Invasion erwartet. Also dann, bis nächste Woche.